celebrate that with baptism. And we're going to spend more time talking particularly about the baptism when we get to that. But we must understand that both of these things are things that we do to show what we believe. They're not things that we do that cause us to believe. They're not things that we do that make us anything. They are simply things that we do that show what we believe. Communion. Communion in and of itself is a little sip of juice and a little piece of bread that, yes, dries your mouth out a lot. But what it does is it shows the people around that you trust a Jesus who shed his blood, a Jesus who gave up his body for your salvation. You don't trust anything else. You don't trust what you do. You don't trust how much you go to church. You don't trust how nice you are, how good you are, or how much people like you. You trust and only trust his death and resurrection for your life. For your life with him, for your life eternal, for your forgiveness, for your salvation, for all of these things that we want. And when you trust in his work, when you trust in his death and in his resurrection, then you, as a believer, are invited now with us to celebrate his death and resurrection in communion. All of those getting baptized today are doing so as a celebration of their belief in his life and death for their life. And that will be represented then in baptism. That's the point of the two. They're not magical. They're special. But they're not magical. They're not going to do anything to you or do anything for you. But they are a way for us as people to show what we believe. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he wrote this. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And that is what we're here to do together through communion. We're here to proclaim the Lord's death until he chooses to return to this place. We stand or sit and proclaim his death and the power that it has in our lives through communion. We proclaim his death and resurrection and the power that it has in our lives through baptism. That is what we do if we believe that we're saved by grace, simply and only by his working and his life and his death on the cross. If you're given forgiveness simply by trusting him to give it to you, then we invite you to take communion with us. If you don't believe that, just let the bread and the cup pass by, because that's not proclaiming what you believe. But if you do, we invite you to take it with us. I need the elders to come on up. I think, Brian, you're coming up for Mike. And let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to celebrate communion. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to celebrate you, to celebrate what you did, to celebrate who you are, to proclaim to the people around us what we believe and understand true about you. Thank you for your life and your death. Thank you for your love and your compassion. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for all that you are and all that you will ever be. We love you, Father. Amen. Thank you. Father, we thank you for having sent your Son. We thank you for not only having sent him, but having sent him to give up his life on the cross for us. Father, I thank you for the opportunity that we have to have our sins forgiven through his death, to have atonement for our sins. We cannot thank you enough for your Son. We pray that we would always and forever be grateful and thankful to you for what you've done. Amen. While his death is represented in both the cup and the bread, the cup is to represent the new covenant that we have in him. A new covenant that guarantees a life to those of us who believe. So while we remember the penalty for sin and his death in the bread, rejoice in these moments, remembering the life that's offered to us through the new covenant in his blood. Father, thank you for the new covenant and the new life that you've given us in your Son, a promise of life in you. Thank you, Lord, for the certainty that gives us in uncertain times. Father, we don't deserve what you've given to us. We will never deserve what you've given to us, but we thank you for having given it nevertheless. We love you. We thank you for your Son. Amen. Now, as is our custom, we'll have a benevolence offering. And this offering is particularly used for specific needs in either our body or our community. The elders will be the ones to determine where these are used, but my prayer, and I hope it's your prayer, I hope that you engage with us in this prayer, is that God allows these funds to be used in the lives of people who need the gospel. Or need to understand it more. And that then their hearts are ready to receive the truth of the gospel along with the help that we're able to give with the using of these funds. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to have extra, to be able to use it for, Lord, the benefit of people who will at some point need it. So I pray, Father, that you give us, as elders, that you give us the insight and the discernment to know how and where to use these funds. And that, Lord, you prepare the hearts of the people who will need them so that they will be ready to hear, understand, and receive your gospel through what we're able to share with them. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Baptism. If you hadn't noticed, there's a giant tub of water in the front. And if you did notice, it won't be here next week. But this week, we're going to have the opportunity to celebrate what God has done in the lives of people, particularly six people in this body, what he's done in their life by celebrating baptism with them. Yet it is very common for us to misunderstand baptism, to misappropriate even its purpose. What do I mean by that? I mean that it is very, very likely that in baptism, we don't actually understand what and why. And if we don't understand what baptism is and why we do it, then what we do this morning is irrelevant. What we do this morning is purposeless. We don't want to be purposeless.
We want to take part with God in what he's doing, so we need to ask the honest questions: what is baptism and why do we do it? Some of my friends, some of my good friends actually, they understand baptism wholly different than I do, on lots of different levels. My grandparents understood baptism wholly different than I do. So what is baptism? Why the difference in opinion? Why do we not have this rigid form of how things are done that everyone agrees with? The answer to that is simple. Because the Bible doesn't give us a rigid form of how it's to be done. Don't take that to mean that it doesn't give us indications of how we're to do this. But there is not a baptisms chapter 1 verse 1 that tells you how to do baptisms. But the imagery of what a baptism is must propel us forward into doing baptisms a certain way. The imagery of what baptism is intended to be must propel us forward to answer the questions what it is and why we do it. And if it doesn't propel us forward in those ways, then we're being driven more by tradition than we are by understanding of Scripture. And at any point in time, I, you, or anyone else becomes driven more by tradition than by Scripture, we have begun failing. And I don't want to fail. So let's take a few moments and look at some of the Scripture passages about baptism to understand what it is, to understand why we do it. And now I'm going to share a little bit of something you're not really supposed to do as a speaker up front. I'm going to tell you my hope. My hope in knowing some of you is that some of you who are baptized differently than what we're about to talk about will tell me in the next week or two or month or two that you want to be baptized. Understanding this is the best, as I can tell, understanding of how to follow Scripture, being baptized in the way that Scripture calls us to be baptized. That's my goal. I'm supposed to keep my goals like that hidden, but I don't want to. I want you to know the purpose of why we're doing this service. This service is done so that we as a body would engage with baptism for the people who are being baptized, but then on top of that, to propel us forward in following Jesus the way we're intended to. This slide right here initially said baptism, following Jesus. But I changed it. I didn't really want to, but this worked better for what we were doing. Baptism is, at its core, following Jesus. And in order to talk about how we're following Jesus, we're going to have to talk about the gospel for a bit. We did before communion, but the gospel goes even deeper than what we talked about. But for this moment, let's talk about the what and why of baptism. Starting then, with talking about what. What is baptism? Literally, to dunk. Okay, to immerse. Not really to dunk, but to immerse. What does that matter? I am not going to stand here and rail against people who do certain components of baptism different than I do, because that is not the purpose. Not the purpose at all. I can accept many different forms of baptism as long as we understand the right what's of what it is. What is baptism? The best passage to look at that is Romans chapter 6 verses 3 to 8. And that says this. Just listen for a moment and it will answer what baptism is. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?
We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. That answers the what. The problem is, when somebody up in front reads a passage, the odds of everybody reaching the same conclusion of what the passage was talking about is very, very slim. So let's take just a few moments and talk about what Paul says baptism is to be. If you read it totally out of context, without thinking about chapters 1 through 5 of Romans, this will sound an awful lot like what baptism is your saving feature. Because you're baptized in his death through baptism, is what Paul says. Except the first 5 chapters of the book are talking about how belief is what unites you with Christ. And when you believe in him, then these things become the only option being outward representations. See, the very first thing that we must realize regarding what baptism is, it is a picture, a live action picture of salvation. It is not salvation. It is simply a picture of salvation. Notice what Paul writes here is that the believer, right? Since that is who he's talking about, the believer is buried in the water to represent your death to sin, and then raised out of the water to represent the resurrection that Christ will give us. That's the picture. The picture is that of death and being brought back to life, which is why we practice baptism by actually sticking a body in the water and then pulling the body out of the water. Because it is better, closer imagery to the actual death and resurrection that Paul speaks of here. Again, this is not a sermon against other forms of baptism, styles of baptism. You could dump water over somebody's head. You could sprinkle water on somebody's head. I'm not going to get too terribly hung up on that because the Bible doesn't either. But the imagery is that of being buried, stuck in the ground, to be brought back to life, like Christ was buried and brought back. Baptism is a picture. It is a picture of the believer being buried and being brought back to life as a celebration of what Christ did. Now, the only way, friends, that you can have that reality in your life, not the picture in your life, but that reality in your life, is by trusting Jesus and Jesus alone and Jesus only, to by grace, through no merit of your own, to by grace give you life that you and I do not deserve. That is the only way to get it. And until you have that as a reality in your life, you cannot, in any reality, use this as a picture of what has gone on in your life, because it's not true. That's what baptism is. That is what it is. It is a picture. But then the question, why? Why baptism? Why does it matter? Why do we do it? There's 2 passages that are going to help us out with this one. The 2 passages are found in Acts and Matthew. Acts chapter 10, verses 47 and 48, and Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Perhaps you know both of these stories. These 2 stories go like this. There was a Gentile in Acts who was a God-fearer, meaning
He trusted that there was a God out there somewhere who was real. And Peter had a vision in which he was told to go and share the gospel with his family. Once they heard the gospel, they believed the gospel. And once they believed the gospel, we come to verses 47 and 48. Matthew chapter 28, 18 to 20 is called the Great Commission. And it's going to poignantly tell us something about baptism, about why. Acts 47 and 40, or 10, 47 and 48 say this. Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people? These people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. Now notice, these are people who have already received the Holy Spirit. These are not people who are going to because they get baptized. These are people who already have. And he, Peter, commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. He commanded them. He didn't say, hey guys, I got this idea. It'd be really great if maybe you got baptized because it'd be fun. He commanded the Gentiles to be baptized after they believed. After they believed. After they received the Holy Spirit, they were commanded to be baptized as what? As their first step of following Jesus. Why? Because your first step as following Jesus, if you haven't done it and it's not your first step, it's not the end of the world, but your first step, according to Peter, is this showing of a picture of what you believe so that the people around you see it, so that you're not hiding it. This isn't a for you only sort of thing. This is a reality in your life meant to be shared with the people around you so that they can see what God has done. And you're not allowed, you're not even given the option scripturally of keeping that to yourself. But you're commanded, just as Paul or Peter commanded Cornelius and family here, commanded to be baptized to show that picture to the people around you. For too long, it's been easy for us as believers to do one of two things with baptism, to either over-elevate it to a position that says, oh, this is maybe the most important thing you're ever going to do in life, because it's not. But to also devalue it in the sense it says, I don't really care if people get baptized or if they don't. Scripture doesn't allow us either of those two extremes. It is a command given to every follower of Jesus. Yet it is not something that saves you. Moving then to Matthew chapter 28. See, we'll just read it. Jesus makes an incredible statement as he's leaving his disciples. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. We talk about disciple making here. I hope you've noticed that we go further than just talk about disciple making. It is the very core of everything that we do in a very specific and poignant way, right? That's why we pair people up so that you can grow together, so that we can, as people, become better disciples of Christ. Disciple making is the core of the vision that we have of how we become like Jesus. Go, therefore, or while you're going. It's probably a closer translation. Go is not a command. It's assumed. Okay, understand that. The Bible just assumes you're already going with the message of the gospel. Because all of the writers of the gospels couldn't imagine you wouldn't be. You have been given life when you deserve death. You're not going to keep that quiet as far as they can tell. So while you're going, make disciples. That's the command. The command is to make disciples. And then we have subordinate participles, which that makes it feel a whole lot like English class, which is terrifying and sleep-inducing, I realize. But these are subordinate participles, meaning simply this. Baptizing and teaching to obey are the two ways that you make disciples. They are the how for disciple-making. Baptizing and teaching to obey. That makes disciple-making, in this sense, not evangelism. It's for believers. So now if you're going to make disciples from people who already believe, baptizing is the first thing he says. Teaching then goes along with it. So when we talk about baptism, we talk about specifically ways that we as people can follow Jesus in disciple making. We as people can follow what the scripture commands of us as followers, so that with it doing in the water what we do in the water, we can use it as a picture, a live action picture of the reality of the gospel in our lives. That's what it's for. Some of you, my dad included, were baptized as infants. I understand that. But according to these passages, baptism is for believers only. Not will be believers, not hope will be believers, but for believers. To show with their life in this act, to show that they believe. That's what baptism is. And that's why we do it. It is not magical and it will not save you. But if you trust the truth of the gospel of grace through Jesus, the truth of the gospel of grace through Jesus, where belief is the only thing that you need, then baptism is a commanded, expected step once you've become a believer. That's what and why for baptism. I don't know where you stand. I don't know what you think. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know when or if you've been baptized. But if you've not been baptized as a believer, you should be. If you've not been baptized as a believer, you should be. It's not a make it to heaven or don't make it to heaven scenario. It's simply a, I trust Jesus and I want to make sure everyone around me knows it. Al's going to come up and pray. I'm going to go change clothes. All y'all are coming with me. Well, different rooms. But we're going to go change clothes, and then we will do the baptisms.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so grateful for allowing us this picture that a way to picture faith, to show what trust in you is. Thank you for ordaining this for us. For when this is true of us, it is an accurate picture. Thank you for the connection we have. Acknowledging our association with the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And thank you that this pictures that connection, that relationship. And thank you, Father, for the worship that is whereby your grace is maximized apart from our works And so underscores our faith so much more. The remedy for sin that you have made for us. So I pray that the picture that is demonstrated here in the next few minutes will be clarified to us with regard to our own position with you, our own belief in you, and that we might, with our own lives, demonstrate a clear picture to others of what you have done and this grace picture that you've given to us through baptism. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
As we prepare our hearts for several baptisms coming up, let's stand and sing this song and sing this to the Lord. Think of the words that we're lifting up to our Lord God. Arms open wide.
Take my life, I lay it down at the cross where I am found. All I have I give to you, my God. Take my hands and make them clean. Keep my heart in purity, that I may walk in all you have for me.
Okay. I'm going to put him up on the step so that you can see him. And take a picture if you want. That's okay.
Just keep it in your mouth.
Yes, keep it
in your mouth. Not in the pool.
Okay, I need to get the microphone close to you so you can, everyone can hear your answers here. Are you nervous?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. Okay. Do you believe in Jesus as your only way of salvation and eternal life?
Yeah. Yes.
Can you tell about a time when you chose to believe in Jesus?
A week before I believed in Jesus, my brother got the red plate, and he was... The red plate is on our spiritual birthdays. When we believed in Jesus, you get the special red plate that it says God loves you. And I'm like to my mom, can I have the red plate tonight? And my mom's like, you have to ask Jesus into your heart. And I'm like, how do you do that? And she's like, you have to pray. And I'm like, can you pray for? And I went to my rest time, and I'm like, Mom, can you pray for me? And she's like, no, you have to pray. So I prayed, and she prayed, and I just giggled in the bed for the rest for a pretty long time. Then I went out to my mom and dad, and I said, Daddy, I asked Jesus into my heart. And that's it.
Okay, good. So what does baptism mean?
When you get dunked under water.
Why?
To show the people around you that you've trusted in Jesus.
Okay. So why do you want to be baptized?
Because I want to show the people around me that I've trusted in Jesus.
So do you want to be baptized?
Yes.
All right. Hop on in.
Okay, there you go.
80 degrees is warmer in your mind than it is in your skin, just so everybody knows. All right. Okay, bud. You said you want to be baptized? Are you excited?
Yes.
Are you scared?
No.
Are you cold?
Yes.
Yeah.
Your gum in your mouth? All right. Since you trust in Jesus, Josiah? I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yay!
He's got it. Okay, watch your step, watch your step. Okay.
Okay, dry off before you sit down.
Oh, I'm glad it's just water. Yeah, go ahead, right up there. Okay. So, Anna, do you believe that Jesus is the only way of salvation and eternal life?
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell me about a time when you chose to believe in Jesus?
I was in a church service singing a song when I asked my mom, how do you become a Christian? And she said, you have to ask Jesus to forgive your sins. So I asked her, like, how he forgives your sins. She said, you have to pray to forgive your sins. So I went back to my seat and prayed. And I went back to her and said, I asked him to forgive my sins, and he did.
Okay, terrific. Great. So what does baptism mean?
It means showing others that you believe in Jesus.
Okay, so do you want to be baptized?
Yes.
Okay.
I did tell the kids that if they weren't sure the answer to all the questions except for the testimony, that I was going to give them all the answers in the sermon, didn't I?
Yeah, maybe.
All right, Anna, where's your mom and dad? Are you excited? Are you cold?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is colder than you think. So, you said you want to be baptized. I understand that you believe in Jesus. So, you excited? Are you ready? She's giggling. It's because it's cold. All right. I'm going to have you. Yeah, that'll work. All right, Anna, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Okay. Okay. You want the towel? Okay. These are four really tough questions. Do you believe in Jesus as the only way of salvation and eternal life?
Yes.
Can you tell me a time when you chose to believe in Jesus as your Savior?
I was supposed to be in rest time, and I came out of my room, and I was pretending to read my little Bible, and I asked Mom, my mom and me had been talking about the full armor of God and angels and stuff like that, and she said, and I asked her, how do you get the full armor of God on? And she said, you have to ask God to, or Jesus to be your Savior. So, we read a little bit out of my Bible, and then I prayed. And
okay, what did you pray?
In general, not specifically.
Oh, that Jesus would save my sins and be my only way to heaven.
Okay. So what does baptism mean?
That you're showing the people around you that you believe in Jesus is the only way to heaven.
Okay. So do you want to be baptized?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
See, I'm going to keep saying it. It is colder than you think. All right. I remember being a bent knees, right? Okay. So, look out at everybody out here. So I can get a picture of your beautiful face. All right. So, Isaiah, you trust in Jesus, right?
Yes.
All right. And you want to be baptized?
Yes.
All right. And, buddy, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Take your time, yeah?
All right, just as a reminder for all you guys, bend your knees. It'll make you fall off the step a lot
less.
Did
I bend mine?
No.
Oh. I did.
Okay. Okay, face the folks. Do you believe that Jesus is the only way of salvation and eternal life?
Yes.
Can you tell me when you chose to put your trust in Jesus?
We were in Anna's room and we were reading the Bible story about like Jesus. And me and Will asked how Jesus could forgive our sins. And then I became a Christian.
Okay. So you did put your trust in Jesus at that time? Did you pray to him?
Yes.
Okay. So what does baptism mean?
It means that like you're showing the people you trust in Jesus and...
Okay. So why do you want to be baptized?
To show other people that I trust in Jesus.
Okay. So you want to be baptized?
Yes.
Okay, this is time.
All right, turn this way. I love the back of your shirt.
Yeah.
The name is free. So, perfect for baptism day, right?
Yeah.
All right, now I forgot to ask everybody else what their names were, just so everybody was aware. Levi, what's your name? This is Levi Rudolph, and Levi has spent some time with us talking through his testimony, explaining some of that to us, and we understand that you believe in Jesus, right? And you want to be baptized?
Yes.
Well then, Mr. Levi Rudolph, I baptize you in the name, hold on my wrist, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We've gone to the tallers.
You only have to stand on the bottom step. Are you nervous? Well, see, I get more nervous with each one. And now, he and I see eye to eye here. Do you believe in Jesus as the only way of salvation and eternal life?
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell us a time when you chose to believe in Jesus?
Well, when I was about 5 years old, I started wondering what it was like to be a Christian. So I asked my dad how I could become one. And then that night I asked Jesus to forgive my sins. But I still didn't really understand what it meant to be a Christian. So it wasn't till my first or second time going to Hidden Acres camp that was the time when I really started to grow in him and started understanding more. So.
Okay. So what does baptism mean?
Showing others that you believe in Jesus.
Okay. So why do you want to be baptized then?
Like, to show others.
You just said that.
Yeah.
So you want to be baptized?
Yes.
Okay, here's the time.
Okay, well, before Micah gets in with these two older ones, can you tell us a little bit about what God has done in your life since you decided to trust him? I know that's not on the list of questions, and so I apologize. But now you've got a moment to think about it. So it doesn't have to be specific. Just in general, could you think of anything that God has done to help you grow in him? Spur of the moment questions are hard in front of people. I know. And so I sort of apologize. Sort of. That's okay. Totally all right. You've shared some of the things with me, but thinking of them in the moment, you have a few moments to think. So, all right. Come on in, bud. Now you, all the way to the bottom. I'm not baptizing you from up here. So, name? Tell them, not me.
Micah Rudolph.
This is Micah Rudolph. The older... The Rudolph clan is large. So he's like the middle. So two of the others were his siblings. Micah, I understand that you trust Jesus to be your salvation and way to heaven. Is that true?
Yes.
And you want to be baptized?
Yes.
All right. And then hold on to my wrist. And I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
No, you don't have to stand on the step. You make me really look short that way. So, Caleb, do you believe that Jesus is the only way of salvation and eternal life?
Yes.
Can you give us? Can you tell of a time when you chose to believe in the Lord Jesus?
I believe the first time that I ever questioned that would have been when I was in second grade. I think I asked like my mother why I couldn't take communion and something like that. So then I talked to my sister about it, and I think she told me about a time where Glenda questioned her about salvation and stuff like that and how she came to be a believer. So then I went into my room and prayed that I would be saved from my sins.
Okay. So you were primed for this question just a moment ago. Can you tell a little bit about what's happened in your life as a result of that?
Well, I've been to church camp in the summer about like four times. I've been on various church conference trips. And on this most recent one, I got into Wild Parsnip, which was amazing in one way and not so amazing in another way. Because it normally lasts about like 3 weeks. It only lasted one, and that was a miracle just about to me.
So that was kind of a rash experience for you.
Yes.
Sorry it was there, Jacob. So, what is baptism?
Baptism is the way that people can show their faith in an imagery way.
And do you want to be baptized?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, so Caleb starts a whole different group of people, not my kids and not the Rudolph clan. So point out your folks. The ones holding the cameras, yes, yeah. That's them. Caleb, I understand that you trust in Jesus as your only way to salvation and eternal life, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And Caleb, do you want to be baptized?
Yes.
All right. And Caleb Holmes, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, so before Al closes us, just so you are all aware, these six kids will be out in the back during the snack time, which obviously we're not starting the snack time at the normal time. We're starting a little bit late. It's going to go till about 11:30. You have about 45 minutes to talk with them if you'd like. Adults will be back in here with the high schoolers and the junior highers for Sunday school, talking about baptism for the last 20 to 30 minutes of Sunday school. There's children downstairs. But enjoy your time. Don't be in a rush back there. Take the opportunity to talk to these guys. They're going to go get changed and warm. Josiah, kind of your towel.
Soaked.
Yes, it is.
This is so much fun. Remember doing one of these in Rapid Creek? It's really cold all the time. And when you cut a hole in the ice, which it never happened to me, but it did happen to one of the friends of mine in the past. That was a quick one. Join me in singing this song, okay? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. So when the kids get dressed and stuff, they'll go right to the front of the line. But just wanted to have a word of prayer with you, and then we can retire to the back. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the imagery that you have given to us and ordained for us, that we can demonstrate our faith in a way that is understood by what you said in your word. I thank you for this association with you. I thank you for the salvation you give to us by our faith alone in you, our Savior. Thank you for the eternal life that you give to us as a free gift upon our faith in you. I pray that you would seal these moments in our own memories, so that we have this foundation, we have this picture that we can take with us of this demonstration of what faith is, who Jesus Christ is, and forever share the glories of the gospel. I pray that you would dismiss us now with that hope and with the challenge of what we have seen today. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.